Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, the 18th Venice Film Festival. I'm Laura Della Corte, and today we are here with the directors of Coop Intersection, Giornata degli Autori, Austin Stark, Joseph Schumann, and the actor Billy Magnussen. How are you feeling today?
Nailed it! Feeling great. I love that. That was a great introduction.
Thank you.
No, we're really excited.
Is that how
excited
the professionals
to be here? We're excited for our film to premiere later today.
Oh, I've already seen it.
Oh, you did? You watched it on a TV or on a screen?
Yeah.
Did you watch it on like a small TV?
Or? Actually, yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, a lot.
Oh, great. Well, great.
That's good. I'm glad it went that
Spoiler
way.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
All right, at least
so,
I got that.
The film Coop is set during the Spanish flu pandemic, but, you know, addresses themes that feel very relevant today. So can you tell us about why you choose this particular historic backdrop and how you just develop the story?
Sure. One of the things we found most interesting and appealing about that time and the 1918 Spanish flu is how little has changed since then. It was a dark irony that was deeply appealing to us, and by setting it in the past, it allowed us creative freedom and a certain degree of aesthetic liberty to estrange elements of the present and give them a new resonance in the past.
Wow, that was a very articulate answer.
Hey,
I liked it. Take your shirt off.
Early on, we knew we wanted to explore class struggle and cultural division, and there's something about setting it during that time that allows these themes to resonate in a way that they wouldn't had we set it in contemporary times.
Yeah. And also it makes clear like the divide socially of classes, like who really loses during a pandemic.
Exactly.
It's the poor.
Yeah.
It's the people that are in the low economic classes, like the uneducated, you know, people, you know, there were a lot of people that had a lot of money that still were going to school and getting an education.
Sure.
But
things that are always present that are just heightened in that type of situation.
Yeah.
We never intended to really make a pandemic film, which is one of the reasons why we set it during the Spanish flu versus like, you know, COVID or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, it's really interesting how these large scale emergencies expose the fault lines of our class system.
Yeah. And just to, you know, pick up on that, the pandemic in the story functions more of a shipwreck that gets our characters marooned on a deserted island. What was attractive to us was not telling a story about the Spanish flu or any plague for that matter, be it COVID or otherwise. It was what happens to this upstairs, downstairs relationship when the social order stops functioning, if only for a brief moment, when everyday tasks start to carry existential risk. Food, power, communication lines go down, what are the expectations of employer and employee, of master and servant? And then the what-if question we asked ourselves was, what if the staff tending to one of these mansions exploited this new social isolation to have their run of the place for themselves? And that's the unfortunate situation that Billy's character finds himself in.
And I just want to add on to that. The movie's funny. I mean, he's saying it's very deep.
Oh, yeah, it's a comedy.
It's a comedy thriller,
I would say. You wouldn't know that by listening to this.
It's funny. It's funny.
It's a thriller.
It's deep, but it's funny.
And it's suspenseful. And there's romance, too.
Yeah.
As your seat set.
No, I mean, bottom line, the movie's colorful and fun, but and you know, you should be able to enjoy it just as a movie, but if you're looking for meaning, it's there as well.
Is there, yeah.
But you don't have to be looking for meaning. Primarily, it's a roller coaster.
Okay, so before other deep question, I want to ask to Billy something.
What's up?
Yeah, your character, you know, Jay Horton seems to have, like, these deep moral convictions and, you know, some ambiguity lies there anyway, like the right hand when, you know, he's like having some trouble there. So
with writing?
Not with writing, but when he starts, you know, to have to prove his masculinity back and things like that. So how was for you to portray this character?
Well, it was fun. It was a great time, you know. Again, like the constraints, like, hey, these gentlemen wrote a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful script, and that's what brought all these people to the table to work on it. But like the constraints of making this movie at the budget we made, made it. It's a period piece. To make a period piece, it's insanely hard, just so you know, because you have to get everything in line and nothing could look out of place. But working with them to create this world was the best part of it, because every day was a challenge. We had a new hurdle. We could talk about how we were going to do it, but when you show up, it's us making a film together at a certain budget that is just, and what you know we've delivered, I'm like so proud of. Talking about Jay, I don't know. Again, I loved the idea of the hypocrisy. Someone is, I'm a social justice warrior, and that's what I'm spouting out into the world, but actually I'm just full of shit. Yeah. And that is so relevant to so many people in the world today, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. What's interesting about Jay?
Am I not allowed to curse?
But it's so easy to poke fun at Jay. But what Billy did best was humanize him, because Jay is a guy who's at war with his own ego, and mm-hmm. I think like it's giving him humanity that makes that hypocrisy resonate in a naturalistic way. And so
thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to add, I mean, during production and also while writing it, we were hysterically laughing throughout, and especially during, I mean, Billy had us in tears throughout most of production, and
because
part of it,
they were so frustrated.
Yeah, tears of abject misery. No, tears of hysterical laughter. And part of the brilliance of his performance was he played the comedy for real. You know, from that character's perspective, he's certainly not in a comedy, and that's what makes it so hysterical.
Yeah, of course. And so I would like to say that the film seems to be like, you know, a Rorschach test for viewers, and actually a political
test.
Political test with different people, you know, interpreting in various ways depending on their
beliefs. It's so interesting. We realized that during when we were test screening the film, depending on one's own political beliefs is like who they will identify with, whether it's Jay, Billy's character, or Floyd, Peter Sarsgaard's character. And it's so interesting. And we also intentionally in the script, we play with audience identification. Like there isn't a traditional hero and there isn't a traditional villain. It's not black or white, which again, true to life. And that's why we chose to do that.
That's funny ambiguity to, you know, to play with, actually.
And one of the things that inspired us to design the story that way was, you know, these are polarizing times. I mean, not to get serious again, but I mean, it's a comedy. We live in a darkly comedic, absurdist, you know, farce of a time. I mean, that's another way of looking at it. And one of the most farcical aspects of the time is you have half the country interpreting the same facts about the world, the same scientific evidence, the same news story one way. And then you have the other half of the country interpreting the same exact thing in a totally different, irreconcilable way. And that idea of these two separate worlds and realities that people in real life are living in was something that we wanted to capture in our own fictional universe.
Yeah. The character of Floyd, following what you're saying, is played by Peter, seems to be, you know, complex and charismatic as well as the Billy's one, but is how it was for you, you know, being with him on the set and how it was.
Oh, with Peter?
Yeah.
He's a fantastic, like, again, like, you only dream to work with actors like that. Same with Sarah. Like, actually, the whole cast, I felt very comfortable. I think everyone has a theater background. And, like, going through a scene, it's fun. Like, you make mistakes. You're discovering. You're just living in the moment. It's an honor and, like, a masterclass to work with such actors like Peter and Sarah. Because, like, I do stupid shit all the time. And they help me get back on track and vice versa, you know. It's all I ever hope for to work with.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, when you thought about, you know, the thin line between civilization and chaos that you were describing during Cope, which is actually a central theme in the film, even if it is, you know, comedy. Yeah. So what was your work to try to reflect this balance during the story? I mean, when you ever given space to the character of Billy, then to the character of Peter, how it was for you to
Find the tone almost?
Yeah.
Is that what you're kind of asking?
Yeah.
Is like the tone
a balance,
I think Can I jump in?
Yeah, no.
I think the story they wrote was the blueprint and the foundation of a film, and that's how it should always be. It's like we're following the journey of the characters. We see the arcs of these characters and the world they live in. But then when you show up on set, like, you can have an idea of tone, but you are discovering it while shooting, I feel. Because then you start making adjustments while shooting film. You're like, oh, wait, that's not in our world. And you're like discovering it. It's art, you know. Art is a collaborative art form, especially with film. And it's a living, breathing thing that is constantly morphing. Yes, we want to go a certain direction.
You calibrate in the script. Yeah. You calibrate on set. Then you calibrate during the edit. And like we were always trying to find the perfect balance between thriller and comedy. And then like the central theme, like, you know, which you pointed out, is the thin line between civilization and savagery. Which is explored because the social order breaks down, and that's really how we access that in the film.
Yeah. The last question is about, you know, more technical stuff, like how long it takes for you to do the shooting, where you decide to have the set, and, you know, if you have already in mind who is gonna play the character, and if you, you know, just give them an eye when you try to do a characterization with them. Is like, oh yeah, I'm already thinking about Billy or Peter, and was like that, or in a different way.
I just want to give accolades to these two gentlemen as directors, okay. Because again, creating the script is the first part. If it's not on the page, it's not going to play. But then being able as artists to open up and grow and listen and dig their heels in when they need to, or really be present. They were very malleable in that sense. And that shows the sign of a true leader. I'm just saying, you were in the trenches.
No, that means a lot. Yeah. No, and I, and these guys, you know, Billy and Peter and Sarah, they did such an incredible job. And I think, you know, everybody really wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a labor of love. Like, nobody was making a lot of money. Like, we all did this because we loved it, you know? And that really, I think, shines through, and you can see that when you watch the film.
Yeah, so lots of chemistry there, actually.
We had that fun thing during lunches. We were a really good community. We would give presents out every day. Like, someone would be like, today I was inspired by Steve, and then you'd get a piece of chocolate. The next day, Steve would have to give someone else a piece of chocolate. And then it became its own identity through the filming process, where it really brought us all together. Because, again, we were freezing cold out there in Jersey, putting this film together at a micro budget.
It permeates through all the way to the creative, like something very simple like that. Yeah. You know, a gesture of kindness and just showing respect to the crew, to the people that are busting their asses every day, carrying equipment around.
It was a fast shoot. How many days was it, the shoot?
25? I think we ended up shooting 23.
23 days.
Yeah,
wow.
We were
ripping through it. Wow. It's a period piece, too.
Yeah.
We did a day in, I guess altogether probably like 24, 25.
That's a fast shooting film. Yeah. You know, that is really fast.
Yeah.
Again, prep, editing, these guys sitting in a dark room editing the crap out of it. But you were saying last night at dinner, you were saying like from the moment you guys wrote the script, it had been kind of green light the whole way. You had to get the financing in.
We finished it in March. You came on in like June.
Yeah.
Right. So like we were literally polishing our draft that we were going to go out. You know,
films don't happen that way. It takes like, I'm putting a film together. It's been like 6 years working on it. But this one, you guys,
and then
wrote
we were
it.
Shooting by the winter. Yeah,
dude, unbelievable. Crazy.
Editing,
but again,
editing this winter, and then
it
here
comes
we are.
To the script. I think it's all about the script, and it's just such a friggin' tight script. I thought,
that's an amazing job. Actually, you know, it seems like a high budget film.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, of course. Yeah.
It's also kudos to our cinematographer, Connor Murphy.
Yeah,
really talented young cinematographer.
Yeah, production designer.
Yeah, designer.
All of it. Like, it was a team effort.
Wow.
And I'm really glad to
amazing
be a part of
job.
That.
Amazing job.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Austin Stark, Joseph Schumann, the directors of Coupin Section, Giornata degli Autori, and the actor Billy Magnussen.
Magnussen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Kisses.
Laura.
You should
Fred
keep
Pressler
Joey on
insider.
For the rest of the day.
Thank you so much.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.